We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's Friday, guys, heading towards the weekend. Braves with another big series at home. And we're going to talk with Grant about this coming up in less than 8 minutes from now. The good news is Ronald Acuña, guys, is just balling out. And Mike mentioned about the All-Star nod. And, you know, you start saying, all right, who else is deserving with the All-Star game just a few weeks away? Acuña is a no-brainer. But the bottom line for us is the inconsistency that has plagued this team all season long, Mike, specifically at the plate.
Yeah, you just feel like even though, you split a series with the Mets, you want to go there and take 3 out of 4 because for those who don't know, you're right back where you started when you went up to Citi Field. And now you got the Phillies. The Mets and Phillies have kind of both been kind of wobbly, Carl, and they're kind of trading places atop the NL East. So, as we said, they don't hit. We went back, if you missed, you can rewind. We'll talk to Grant about it coming up. But we went back and looked at the 2021 team, which every Braves fan, they hang their hat on that, Carl, to say, see, we can do that again. But that team was so much better at the plate than this team, it's not even funny. We looked at OPS. We looked at everything. Walks, average. That team just, and from Jock Peterson to Rosario to, Heredia, everybody was doing better than anything we're rolling out, not named Matt Olson or Ronald Acuña.
No doubt about it. By the way, last night we saw Mets pitcher Griffin Canning rupture his Achilles. He's been put on the 60-day IL. Promising season. Done for the Mets.
That's the dude I kept harping on. It was strange. We had him for a minute. He was the one that Soler got traded to the Angels for, but they didn't like him for whatever reason. I guess maybe the injury history and this poor guy, man, just can't catch a break.
No.
Done.
No. And it's unfortunate. I mean, look, for us last night, you thought it might open a door for us to catch a break with the offense, and it didn't. Their bullpen shut us down. Grant's on the way. Right now, though, let's talk about our Falcons, Mike. And these first four games, look, we're going to have a lot of time here over the next month or so to chop up a lot of things when it comes to what this season may or may not look like. And it's crazy because the first four games of the season, I think, may be the one of the toughest quarters that we're going to face all season long. Start with the Bucs division game. Guys, it's always tough when you do that early in the season. Bucs know us. We know them. Yes, some of the personnel has changed, but it's going to be a grind. Vikings, Mike, do you still see them as a playoff team without Sam Darnold?
Well, that's the thing. If you look at those first four games and you say, can you go, remember last year the big bugaboo, we thought we'd maybe go 2-2, and we did go 2-2. But it's all about how quickly J.J. McCarthy hits the ground running. He doesn't have the three games or four, if you count the fill-in work that Michael Penix Jr. had.
I agree. Panthers, guys, I feel like improved.
But they beat us. Humiliated us.
They did.
Scored a ton of points. Our boy Penix put up 38, and we still lost in that game to Carolina in the final week.
So you got to feel like coming into that game, and that's week three, they're going to feel good about their chances based on how they finish the season. Now, it doesn't mean anything, but they're also not going to go into that game, fearing us and thinking, oh, well, the big bad Falcons are coming in, especially after the way they finished that last game. And then, Mike, the Commanders. That's the end of the month of September, that last game. So it's Bucks, Vikings, Panthers, Commanders. What do we hope to learn about our Falcons through those first four games?
Well, Washington and Tampa's here, at Minnesota, at Carolina. A lot of Falcon fans will make the trip up to Carolina because you always get tickets. But, yeah, the Washington game here is going to be interesting because you got a guy who can move in the pocket. We know how good Jaden Daniels looks. They've added Debo, right? They got some pieces. They all of a sudden, put them on a fast track like the field turf at Mercedes-Benz. I mean, this could be another high-scoring game. This could be a lot like maybe more points than what we saw on that Sunday night national game. But you're going to have a pretty good baptism of fire. That's why I'm glad Michael Penix Jr. did get some chances to start. I guess let's look at it the other way. Let's think of us as the hammer and those other teams the nail.
Okay.
Let's talk about Leonard Floyd and Jalen Walker and Pierce Jr. and Ebba Cady and everybody else crushing Baker Mayfield, keeping him in that, keeping that container, setting the edge. Edges for running backs, quarterbacks contained, but you get the idea.
Would love to see it.
Getting all over J.J. McCarthy, taking him out, doing the same thing. See, that's the thing. Maybe our defense will be better under Ulbrich and we will hit the ground running. Takes the pressure off of our quarterback, and our quarterback and all the weapons he's got, complimentary football.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. And if we start the season that way, then this team does become dangerous. Jaden Daniels, guys, was just magnificent last year. No way around it. 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. You guys know he took him to the NFC Championship game. I don't think anybody, Mike, when he was drafted, said, oh, that's a 12 or 13 win team with a rookie quarterback. So whatever C.J. Stroud did 2 years ago, he surpassed it when you talk about exceptional rookie years as a starting quarterback. And the confidence is there. And you mentioned the playmakers that they put around him, and I think their defense is going to be improved. But I'm with you. Let's look at it from the other standpoint, and that is that's what I hope to learn about our Falcons in the first four games. That we get through those first four games, Mike, and if we're 2-2, 500, great. If we're 4-0, look out. 3-1, I'm feeling really good. But is that pressure you're talking about, have we seen enough of it to feel like this is the thing that's going to turn our season around, and all of a sudden now we're getting after the quarterback, and we are going to have those 45 to 55 or 60 sacks in a season, not the 35 right. to 30 we've been averaging over the last few years.
I mean, we've been, you guys have to tell you guys have been watching it. You know, we're usually last or dead last or next to last, you know, when it comes to getting the quarterback on the ground. This is one where, you know, the other guys too, how the linebackers, you know, kind of take advantage of this pressure. Hopefully the defensive front, you know, Rook is locked in as much as we talk about the defensive ends. The interior of the line, Onyemata and Rook, because that keeps the guys off the linebacker core.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what you're going to get from Troy Anderson. Everyone says he's going to be healthier. But this is a defense we like and we feel better about. Now, again, young guys. So you can't just say, hey, we drafted guys that are supposed to be ball hawk. They're going to ball hawk at the NFL level. But what do you think about our secondary? There's a lot of pieces in that secondary, which is attractive. You know, it's, I can't imagine them looking like a bunch of lost puppies like we did against Minnesota. Hopefully not going to happen this year.
More communication, better playmaking, more ball hawks. That's what I think the secondary has added. Now, Mike, we got to see it, but we know about Jesse Bates, right? We don't even need to talk about him. But what impact does Jesse have on Xavier Watts?
Right.
That those are the things that we're going to be talking about. Real quick, while we're talking about Jaden Daniels, and I'll say this now, and I'll say it week four in September, and you'll hear me saying it then. Mike, he ran for 891 yards last year. If he's running the football, you have to punish him. And that is something that a lot of teams, it was like, oh, he breaks the pocket. And he was elusive. But he hadn't been hit yet.
Remember RG3? Who was the Falcon that knocked RG3 out? It was a Falcon linebacker back in the day. Took RG3 out in a Falcons game. This is a guy who got a lot of hits. Remember, that was a story up in Washington. He's going to get killed if he can't figure out how to get down. Lamar Jackson always seems to avoid that hit. Was it Spoon?
Yes, it was.
Sean Weatherspoon, right? But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that RG3, and that kind of just squashed his career like dead stop, right? And wasn't the same.
Yeah, look.
You know, this is the thing that hasn't happened to Jaden Daniels, and I think he's been really judicious in knowing, you know, in the second half of the season, when to get down, when to get out.
And he's good at it. I mean, he really is. But I'm just – I don't think people realize how well he led them in rushing. And these are scrambles and escapes and all that kind of stuff. And then, Mike, when you put it in perspective and you start saying, all right, he would have been like the 25th or 6th best, or actually 22nd best rusher in the NFL if he was playing running back last year. So that's not who he is. He's a quarterback, but he's so elusive. I only say that to say, like, that's something defenses are going to change going into this season after seeing him last year and how he operates. When we play them, I will say it now and I'll say it then. He gets out the puck, you got to make him pay.
Right, because last year, guys, to start the season, Carl and I basically had the same conversation. It was going to be the Steelers, right, and it was Fields. It was Justin Fields. And then it was Philly, and it was Hurts, and we actually, you know, won that game with an amazing comeback, Mahomes, and then it was the Saints with Carr. And we
should have beat Mahomes.
And we should have. I mean, you should have. If Cousins was a little more ambulatory, should have beat the Steelers.
Yep.
If we're honest there. We got hosed in the Kansas City game. New Orleans, of course, we beat them, and that was an exciting game. That was where Troy Anderson had the pick six, you know. But this goes back to how much do you trust Penix? How much do you trust your defensive coaches, your offensive coach, Zach Robinson, at, you know, Tampa Bay, at Minnesota, at Carolina, Washington? By the way, not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'd be cool with 2-2 to start that first four.
No, look, because of the improved play, the Bucs are the real deal. And here's the deal about the Vikings. Forget about McCarthy. They are going to blitz the blank out of our quarterback.
Flores still at the D.C. Yeah.
This is what they do. So I'm just telling you right now, like this whole Vikings thing, oh, McCarthy, that game may be 21-17. Like that's the kind of game that plays in a game where your quarterback is trying to get the ball out quickly and avoiding these blitzes. The Vikings are going to come after us. The Panthers, obviously, all these games are winnable, but Panthers and Bucks are the two division games, Mike. And here's the other thing. I don't want to start 0-2 in the division. in those first 4 weeks. So when you say 2-2, are you telling me we're beating the Bucs and the Panthers, or are we losing the Bucs and Panthers 0-2 in the division and winning against the Vikes and the Commanders?
Because you lose those first two, you already start thinking about, uh-oh, now we're stuck in a wild card and so much for that extra home game. Right? So that's, I mean, it's big. That's why, I mean, you could argue. Some teams don't like to start with that division opponent. Hey, one thing we touched on Wednesday, obviously we had a busy show because we talked with the Hawks GM, and then yesterday we obviously had some great shenanigans with Young Dro and T.I. and Jermaine Dupri coming in studio. Real quick, Kyle Pitts, not at Tight End University this year. Big one up in New Orleans. I mean, up in Nashville. You saw the videos, all the guys up there. You know, stories did come out. Kyle Pitts was at Tight End University last year. So, unfortunately, it didn't translate to being better than, you know, 13th as far as receptions. And we talked about, you know, where he was in yards. Yards was 13th or 17th receptions. Here's the thing, my argument. He's not there this year because he's got an injury. The same injury that he had, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago at minicamp. So, what the hell is up with his health status? And is this going to be something which, I mean, you're telling me that I got to worry about another injury for Kyle Pitts as we get ready for camp? Which will be here before you know it, less than a month.
I don't know, Mike. I mean, like, what was the word that we kept talking about? Oh, cautious, very cautious. What was the phrase?
An overabundance of caution.
Yeah, it was something like that. And I was like, why are we using that phrase? What's this injury? I don't know. Everybody keeps saying to me he's going to be ready for camp. Okay, I'm trusting that, and I hope that's the case. He's only got, what, five more weeks?
In a year that he's looking to bank, whether it's not with us, you know, because he can impress other guys. We may, if he balled out, I don't know if we'd have enough money to franchise tag him with some of the other guys we had to take care of. But this is the ultimate contract year for him.
Yeah.
You know, James Cook, he showed up now he can, granted, Pitts has got an injury, but Cook is putting the work in, and he's in the last year of his fifth deal.
All right, guys, we're going to talk some Braves coming up. We host the Phillies tonight. It's Bryce Elder on the hill. We got to talk with Grant about all the things that are going on with this team, and it feels like for every two steps forward we take three back. Grant, what happened last night? I'm not even going to project my own personal feelings. I'm asking you, what happened last night?
The Braves offense once again was in absentia, and that's happened too many times this year. And I don't have any more answers than anybody else, and certainly no more than the guys that are trying to figure it out. But the frustrations continue, and this offense and the consistency it's looking for is just not there.
Brother, we went back and looked at the 2021 team because, you know, a lot of Braves fans, I mean, you got to have heart, and they do. Mm-hmm. And they look back at 21 and say, look, you're going to have to win 100 games to win a World Series. You know, just got to get hot at the right time. But
yep.
Going back, even if you take it, look, going all the way back to when Acuna got hurt and beyond, everybody in that lineup hit. Dansby hit, Freddie hit, you know, the role players, guys like Heredia hit. Nobody had us kind of like OPS as bad as what we're seeing on everybody but Acuna and Olsen.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, it certainly wasn't a juggernaut offensively, though. I think that's pretty safe to say. It's just
clutch.
You got some of the right guys in there. You got, some big performances from guys like Freeman and Swanson and a host of others. I mean, that was more of the it takes a village approach to winning a World Series than, hey, let's get together a superstar team, spend $500 million and see what happens. I mean, there are different ways that you can go about getting there. But like you said, it's about getting hot at the right time. But you also have to play a consistent enough brand of baseball to punch your ticket to October. And that is currently what the Braves are struggling with. And you brought up the OPSs. I mean, you look at four different spots in this Braves lineup that are not just less than ideal, but essentially in many ways just black holes that even if you get 3, 4, 5 other guys going, which would be nice and is not currently the case, it's hard to overcome that because half of your lineup may not be able to keep that line moving. And I know that's a cliche that you may have heard in the Braves vernacular going back a couple of decades, but it's true. If you have, links of that chain that are consistently broken, it is hard to expect it to be able to pull anything. And that is currently the problem for this club. You've got Michael Harris. You've got Ozzie Albies. You've got the left field situation, which is bad. And then you got Nick Allen, who I don't know if a lot of people have noticed this or want to hear this, but I'll bring it up anyway because it's what I'm paid to do.
Yep.
Nick Allen's OPS has now passed Michael Harris's. And that is something I never thought I would see this year because I didn't know that I was going to see this much of Nick Allen, who is a great fielder and who gives you a scrappy at bat. But the expectations were certainly not on Nick Allen to be the guy that's trying to keep this lineup going. You've just got to get more from the guys that you have. And they continue the search for answers and for results. And you talk to them on a regular basis like I do. The frustrations are there. I mean, I asked Brian Snitker today. I said, look, 2023 was what it was. 24 was its own year. 25 is its own year. But Tim Hyers walked into a situation where the expectations were one thing and the results are another thing. I mean, how do you size up where he is right now? And he said, look, Tim is working. He has got great information. He is, you know, doing everything that he possibly can. But being a hitting coach is one of the hardest, if not the hardest jobs in the sport, because you can't guarantee the results no matter how good your process is. And individually, collectively, the Braves on the whole seem to be a team that just cannot seem to find the right answers, the right plan to get to those results.
Grant, what about the walks? I mean, last night is we don't walk enough as a team, but last night was a prime example where we don't draw any. How do you explain that as far as the point about Tim Hyers and Skip talking about it? Where you say, hey, we just got to be more patient at the plate. I know they're preaching that, but like it's not showing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's all an approach, and there are a couple different ways to look at it. I think we may have talked about this either earlier this week or last week, so I'll be brief about it. But one of the things that they identified that Braves hitters weren't doing was being aggressive enough early in counts on hittable pitches, i.e. fastballs over the middle of the plate, pitches to do damage on. They're just not getting it done collectively. And I'm not talking about Ronald Acuna Jr., but just about everybody else, I think, has kind of struggled with that at some point this year. Austin Riley has said as much. I know Matt Olson is on a 27-game on-base streak and is the other productive hitter in the Braves lineup right now, but the power is not necessarily there for him. It's been a month. He's got three home runs. And I'm not knocking Matt. Trust me. I mean, he's doing some things, and everybody wanted to see it, especially the clutch variety.
Right.
But you're just not seeing it as much. So to answer your question, this version of the question this time, is that ultimately you can have that great approach. You can do all the work, and they are. But once you get up there, what choices do you make in execution? I don't know how you connect those two links of the chain, to use that analogy again. And I think they're still struggling and trying to find it, because you want to at some point put the mental side of the game to the side and say, okay, I've done all that work. Now I physically need to rely on my instincts and my preparation to execute at the highest level. And that is not happening.
It's like Groundhog Day. You know, these conversations we're having, because, you know, we spent time about Money Harris and, you know, I mean, do you at some point, because you said yesterday, guys were asking us today on the text line, who are you going to put in center field if you sit Money Harris to go take a mental health break? You know what I mean? All of a sudden you're going to have even less, you could argue less production and not as good defense.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to give him a day? You can play Eli White out there, but, I mean, you've seen that left field, at least for now. I mean, we can talk about Jerickson Profar's return. Should that help? Yes. Will it help? I don't know. Ronald Acuna Jr. came back, and the Braves have gone 13-16 in the 29 games, I believe, that he's played, or 13-18, I think it is, in the 31 games that he's played. Either way, it hasn't moved the needle, because one guy is not going to do it, but it's multiple guys, and how do you get each individual that opportunity? I don't know if it's a break that he needs. I mean, I know a lot of people have asked, as he continues to Carl's point, not be able to draw walks, and the on-base percentage for the month of June is 170 for Michael Harris, by the way. That is clearly not a good thing. It's almost like the Braves are carrying a pitcher's spot in the order because of the lack of production over a long period of time. So you don't have a bunch of options in AAA. I know a bunch of people have been saying, oh, this Carlos Rodriguez guy looks interesting. Maybe you could throw him out there, but I don't have high expectations of him. I'd rather get Michael Harris right to solve the problem. But for him to get right, he's going to have to play every day. And I don't know if the Braves will be forced into that, you know, that critical mass or that decision point where, hey, Jerickson Profar is back. Are we going to consider our option with Michael Harris to very literally send him out to get his work done and then come back after a week or two? They did it with Dansby Swanson. It's not off the table, but it's certainly not anything that anybody wants to see happen.
Talk to us about the Phillies. What do they look like coming into this series? Do they look any different than the last time we saw them? And we know how big the series is.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through a rough time as well. They have not played very, very good baseball themselves in June. They're without Bryce Harper. They are without Aaron Nola. He's been out for a while. So they're trying to patch it all together and find some consistency as well. But it's a long season. Mathematically, this weekend, they will play game number 81, as will the Braves. And we'll see what the second half, literally, of the season is going to look like. But the Phillies are a club with its own issues and own problems and not coming in with a ton of momentum. So if the Braves want to capitalize on this string of games that we started talking about 10 days ago of 13 games against divisional opponents, what can you do with it? You take 5 out of 7 against the Mets, that is great. You lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. That is the opposite of that. Mm. And it seems like everything for this period is going to hinge on, can you beat the Phillies in the series? Can you go on a nice little run to bookend this 13 games with another sweep? Because you are back at home where you do play your best baseball of anywhere else. So, you know, get greedy, I guess, if you can, but you got to take them one at a time, and that's what the Braves are going to concentrate on tonight.
Right. I mean, I know that we're not a position at 6 games under to say, we got this. But, you know, the Angels, the Orioles, the A's, you know, you feel like you make some hay.
Yeah, I mean, you would look at it as at least an approachable part of the schedule where you'd feel like we should win more games than we lose. The A's, obviously, are a bad team. The Orioles, I don't think anybody expected them to be bad. But here they are, kind of in a similar situation with the Braves, but probably worse, actually, with how things have played out for them and some big injuries that they're dealing with as well. But the Angels are, what, about a 500 club and have the other half of the Braves team that is no longer here, apparently, because that's the timeshare that is being worked out. But, yeah, these are the series you need to take advantage of. You need to be winning them, stacking them up, and seeing if you can get to the All-Star break at as close to 500 as possible, because, and I've talked about this as well, you know, is this the critical time where you really need the trade? What will it even look like when it's time for Alex Anthopoulos to sit down around the trade deadline and try to get it done before July 31st? We don't know the answers to that, but we're going to find out a lot of them over the series you just mentioned.
Good job, Grant. When are you on this weekend?
I'll be on 5 to 7 this weekend. I'll have Brad Rowland of Hammer Territory on to talk about the Braves at the midway point, and I will preview the Angels series with Sam Blum of The Athletic. It's 2 hours of Braves and baseball talk. Should be a good time. We'll see how the weekend goes. 5 to 7 on 92.9 The Game, wherever you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app.
Good stuff. Have a good weekend, brother. We'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Reminder, guys, NASCAR week is here. The morning shift was there today at Echo Park Speedway. They'll be there again tomorrow, Saturday afternoon. From our 92.9 The Game camper, and before the green flag drops at the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Make sure you stop by and join us in the infield. Guys, that's Saturday at Echo Park Speedway with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, you're going as well?
Yes, I'm going to crash the party. I'm going to heckle Squidbilly while he's doing the broadcast from the roof of the camper with Mike Johnson. Hey, Squidbilly! Hey! So, yeah, I'll be doing that in the infield, and I encourage other audience members to join the party.
All right, man, when we come back... You want the best from kids who are from Atlanta, but he's not making the right decisions. It's just that simple. We'll explain next. Sometimes you make the right decisions, sometimes you don't. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The story today, ironically, following the NBA draft, and we've been talking about it because he is a local kid. And Mike, when this all went down, when he was avoiding potential workouts and all the stuff that we were talking about, we were kind of like, what is Ace Bailey trying to do? Now, the latest report, let's take you back. Early this morning, hadn't reported to the Jazz. He got picked by the Jazz and was trying to dictate where maybe he wanted to go, at least according to reports. Now, the report is that he may report and arrive in Utah on Saturday, that the Jazz are expecting him to arrive on Saturday. Now, Mike, I don't know. Again, maybe it was miscommunication, right. But... they, and this is talking about Ace Bailey's folks and the people that are representing him, insist he's thrilled to join the Jazz.
Okay.
And that, again, he will be there Saturday. Guys, once you get drafted, you guys know this. Most cases, you're on a plane somewhere. The Hawks today had an introductory press conference for our guy, and Ace Newell. It's weird. And so I don't know, Mike, where this goes with Ace Bailey. And you brought up earlier in the show, does he ultimately try to go back to college? I don't think that's the case. But apparently now he's going to be there Saturday.
Everybody from Michael Wilbon to Ian O'Connor and everybody in between has said, fire Omar Cooper immediately. Okay, that's Sharif's dad who's overplayed his hand. And it just looks awful. I mean, you know, as we said, it's a privilege to get to be paid. You know, most folks feel $7 million. Yeah, you've earned it. We get it. And $41 million in your first 4 years in the NBA. And most folks, just even if you're not happy with where you got drafted, like the kid who got drafted by Toronto, who dropped an F-bomb when he found out it was Toronto. Yeah, there were so many things that were just bleh about this NBA draft. Conversely, there were guys from Europe that were crying because they do understand it's a life-changing event to be drafted into the NBA, and they had the proper perspective. And as we said, going to McEachran, I don't want to speak poorly about Ace because I don't know him personally or his family. It just seems like they've maybe, you know, got some bad advice, and then Omar overplayed his hands. And then people started digging into Omar's stuff, and now you find out, well, Omar will do interviews, but he wants to get paid to do interviews. So people are just going, okay, come on, you're over your skis on this one. Let the guy go to the Jazz. As you said it, he talks to, you know, talks to Danny Ainge. You'll figure out what the world's all about.
I think so. And again, the advice, we're not privy to it, but it's, the optics are not good. And so we'll see where this goes. And maybe Ace Bailey might get past this and turns into a terrific NBA player. Listen, right. There are a lot of people like, look, kids can be special. He can be really good. But this gets back to, you know, there were potential, or at least he had the potential to go top three, Mike. I mean, obviously Cooper Flagg was the guy that everybody talked about. Dylan Harper, who is Ron Harper's son, for those who right. don't know, went two. But then you go, all right, well, the 76ers with the third pick, but Bailey canceled that workout with them. And again, this is like, why are you doing these kinds of things?
And then, as we said, you know, it's funny because the guy said he's crying over going to Utah. Hell, man, you picked New Jersey over Kentucky. Okay, Rutgers, with all due respect to Rutgers, I mean, if you saw the episode of The Sopranos, when they rip it off the night of the Jewel concert, it's not like the garden spot of the Garden State. But he took that over like all the big blue chips to go to freaking Rutgers for 1.6 mil. Don't get me wrong. Nice money if you can make it. Apparently, he's got a really strong relationship with Nike because they see the skills. But, you know, some folks are saying, well, does this mean he's going to go back to college? Look, the sooner you start your NBA career, the sooner you get that big contract.
Yeah.
The big one. So, and you show what you got. And as Day-Day pointed out, it's a nice young nucleus in Salt Lake City as well to play with.
It is weird. We're keeping an eye on it. Hopefully, things settle down here over the weekend. But he was trying, allegedly, to steer himself to the Wizards, which, okay, they had the sixth pick.
Right.
Sixers didn't take him. Hornets didn't take him. Jazz did. They had the fifth overall pick. And so everybody's like, and I guess, you know, he was surprised about this. And maybe he was in his feels. Who knows? Either way, they're saying he's going to report tomorrow. Meanwhile, guys, we've been talking today about our Braves and a great conversation with Grant McCauley there and what is lacking. And I said today to you, where are you at right now? Are you ready to say, and Mike said he's going to give you the weekend, my guess, we come back here on Monday, you'll be fire selling it. That's my guess.
Fire sell it, fire sell it.
Are you ready to make some moves and say, you know what? And Mike, you mentioned this earlier. You said, maybe this is not our year. If it's not, then how do you reconstruct this? Because again, and many of you are listening right now, you're like, oh, y'all are giving up too early. It's not that we're giving up too early, but we're a 500 team. This is where we've lived.
I mean, right, and to be in a position to, you know, take three out of four from the Mets, I understand you had to go and run Didier Fuentes out there again. You don't have enough starting pitching. Losing Chris Sale for however long is just brutal. But you got three with the Phillies. The thing is, the Mets and the Phillies are not playing well right now. So that's where you gotta step up. And then to have three hits against five Mets pitchers yesterday, that's pathetic. And you guys, I had to sit through a movie that sucked last night because even my wife wouldn't watch the Braves. It was so painful. And I had to watch Echo Valley. We spent 10 minutes on this horrible movie, which I recommend you don't watch, despite the fact it's got, Sweeney in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you couldn't vibe with her character either, right? I mean, she played the character so well. She's a really good actress.
Sydney Sweeney, if you don't think she can act, and she's beautiful and everybody wants to make out with her, go watch this movie because you want to strangle her within 10 minutes. But I digress. Getting back, that's how bad my night watching the Braves was. But as Grant brought up and we discussed the schedule, if you can't, you know, make some hay against a Dodgers team, Angels team, I should say, look, they're 500. They're not terrible. But that's, you know, Washington's been ill, so he's not managing right now. But you got one of the worst, you know, the A's. You got teams you feel like you could do something against, right? I guess, right? Baltimore? I mean, the A's are 17 games under 500. If you can't make a dent, this is what's so frustrating. Every Braves fan sees what has happened before in 21 and in 22, and they think we can reproduce that now. And I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. And the point that you brought up as far as filling the void, we were built to withstand the Ronald Acuña injury that year, but we still needed to go out and get help. We don't win it without the additions of Soler and all, you know, Eddie Rosario and all the guys. But that doesn't mean you bring those guys back. as we've already seen. Some of that has already transpired. But that you still had to make moves. And so that's why I'm saying it's going to be a busy time for Alex, man. And by the way, I think he's trying to make moves now, Mike. I really do. I just
think he's putting feelers out?
Yeah, but nobody's willing to move yet.
So early. And that's the other thing. You know, when you go right now, if you go type in like wild card or you go to ESPN's website, and, you know, because, by the way, you guys can do this yourself. When people reach out to Carl and I in the text message, like, you can look up this information. It's not like you got to have a code or something. It's out there. But real quick, if you look at the wild card, right now the Braves are 7 games out. But you know who's ahead of them? The Brewers, the Padres, the Giants, who aren't going anywhere. St. Louis is 6 games over 500. The Reds are over 500 right now. And the Braves are looking up at all of those guys. So you need all those guys to take a step back. Those guys are going to be shopping. See, this gets back to the point we're trying to make. You think like the Braves are in a vacuum, and they're the only team out there with a wish list. And they're not.
They're not.
And our wish list is bigger than those other teams.
You guys can find us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, as we will see what plays out this weekend with our Braves. I just feel like it was a little bit of a letdown after not winning that series with
I mean, because you know how it is, two up, two down. You're right back where you started. And like we said, you heard it from Grant, Phillies have had their own injuries to deal with their pitching staff as well. So let's hope that – but the thing is, when is Money Harris – the thing with Mike, for instance, we spent a lot of time on him this week. Michael Harris has to like almost to have his approach deconstructed and rebuilt. You know, he doesn't take pitches. He never works the count. You know, and when you're struggling, at least work a walk or two and get some confidence, right, and contribute on the base pass.
Yeah, it's
the, hasn't been able to do
part.
That.
That's the hard part. When you talk about ranking 148 out of 160 qualifying players in the major leagues, that ain't good. When you talk about that on base percentage, you know that slugging on base percentage ranks 159. That's not good. So, and we talked about this yesterday. This is the number that just is shocking. So nobody drew a walk last night, right, on this team. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much against the entire bullpen after, you know, Griffin Canning went down. He, Michael Money Harris, has not drawn a walk since May 18th. That is unbelievable. Guys, you could just fall into a walk in the major leagues with the games every day. I mean, you go out there one day and like, I'm just not going to swing at anything. Somebody's bound to walk you. So that is what's amazing about what's going on. And those are ugly numbers that nobody really wants to face right now when you say, well, what's going on with the Braves? And by the way, I'm not solely blaming this on Money, but that's up and down the lineup. That's the problem.
And even with, you know, Drake Baldwin struggling right now, batting 260 for the month, his OPS is 784.
Right.
Because he gets on base.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and that's, we've talked about, you know, Austin Riley, by where, you know, where his baseball card is, for lack of a better word, he's got to be better too. Austin, it's not just, you know, we talk about Acuna and Olsen, and Acuna, of course, the first phase of All-Star balloting, he's in there as well. He should be in a smaller sample size. But you need Austin Riley to start popping, and you look at the rest of this lineup and you say, who? Murphy's not going to provide that on a regular basis. You know, Eli White, you heard from him. That's why even if you try to give Michael Harris a break, as we talked about with Grant, who's going to step in and do anything?
Elder Schwellenbach, Strider is what the rotation is. Braves are 3-3 against the Phillies coming into tonight's action.
Never thought I'd say it, Holmes.
What's that?
Called you Holmes. Profar to the rescue.
Hopefully. He might be the spark. Let's hope so.
If Profar could give you that, like, you know, Rosario, Peterson, Soler type, it's asking a lot for one dude.
Yeah, we need a spark. So we'll see how the Braves do. Coming up, by the way, stick around. Turtles got you for the night show.
Is he finally happy over the Hawks moves?
Was he not happy?
I don't know. He was Dominic.
Was he a curmudgeon? What's going on?
What's going on with Angry Man?
He kind of backed himself back up a little bit.
Oh,
yesterday.
Did he?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Chris, he was his point was more so that he just felt like the Hawks maybe should have tried to trade up, or he was just more so like really being all in and trying to get the best player to help the roster win now.
Okay,
that was his standpoint.
So he walked it back, softened it up.
Yeah, he did walk it back a little bit. I think you know, it kind of settled in and like, this is a good move.
Well, no, I mean, look, you know, sometimes Chris, you can be wrong and walk it back. I was talking about, you know, Porzingis, and I was kind of stuck in that what he did or what he didn't do against the Knicks, but he's still a guy that grabs rebounds and blocks shots. So he is a rim protector.
Yeah. I will say, I think Chris was more so initially upset with just the trade back.
Mm.
And that was kind of the moment. And then when that happened, you kind of had to run with it.
Dominic, let's break Chris's game down more before he comes on and you work with him for 5 more hours.
Yeah, look, you got to wait to see who that player is, right? And how that shakes out before you kind of lose your cool.
Hey, and by the way, we just started sidebar. We just talked about, you know, the teams are going to see the Angels and we talked about trying to get some steam. Ron Washington apparently is being shut down for the remainder of the season.
Oh, he's done?
Yeah, and they're not giving specifics, so let's hope that it's nothing bad. But Ron Washington is going to remain on medical leave. Everyone, who doesn't love Wash? Great guy.
Yeah, we'll pray for him and make sure that hopefully he makes his way back next season. That is weird, Mike, that he's going to miss the entire rest of the season. It's still early. I mean, we're halfway there, but it's still early enough that you're telling me you're shutting him down 3-4 months before the end of the season?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, man, we got to get out of the way and clear our throat. Dede, great job. Not today, all week long, along with the Dominator. Appreciate you guys, as always. Monday, we are back leading into the 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a fun week, guys. And then the following week, realize it or not, I mean, we're talking about the All-Star game and all the things, you know, that'll be going on in about 2.5 weeks from now. Atlanta's going to be popping, as Mike likes to say about Gwinnett. So we got a lot to lead into, man. But make sure you're here. We'll talk Braves. We got a lot of stuff coming off the weekend that we'll get into. It's going to be a fun show Monday starting at 2. Chris has got you for the night show. Mike Bell, we got to get out of here, man. And by the way, thanks to all of our guests, not just today, all week long, if you missed any of them. And I would suggest go to the Odyssey app, rewind the interview with T.I., Young Dro, and Jermaine Dupri. And hear the story about T.I. and Michael Jordan at Magic City. That's all I'm going to tell you. It was unbelievable. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, great job, Day-Day and the Dominator this week. Hey, Saturday night and tonight, too, with the Xfinity Series, NASCAR. When I first moved to Atlanta, bro, every race, two races in your car, sold out. And NASCAR did everything in their power to screw up this track and try to change the dates, and no one knew when to go. Now we got a summer race under the lights Saturday night. It's going to be electric, and there still are some tickets available. You can go to the Echo Park Speedway website. But I'm looking forward to it, man, because, yeah, there's things about NASCAR I change, but there's nothing like hearing that horsepower, Carl, and watching that freight train come out of turn four. Green, green, green. Can't wait. Stoked for Saturday night out at Echo Park Speedway.
Hey, I want to play something for you. Saints fans, listen up.
I think for me and what I've been through, you know, I've been carted off the field. I've been booed. I've been an MVP.
Yeah.
I've been a starter. I've been a backup to Herbert. I'm like, dude, I don't throw some at me. Like, I'm, you're not going to phase me if we start off like 0-2 or suck. I'm like, dude, I'm going to be, it's going to be fine, you know? So
that could be your starting quarterback, New Orleans.
Who's that?
Tyler Shook, Spencer Rattler, Jake Hayner. Those are the guys in your quarterback room.
By the way, was that Fight Club? You don't know where I've been, man.
Well, he's trying to talk tough. You can throw whatever you want at me, and I'm a survivor. Oh, my God, I can't wait. Hi, Saints fans. Mm. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you work in a building where the bathroom smells like the French Quarter.